Blog Talk Radio.
You have room on your team for this little space, bitch.
Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Tonight. I'm your host, Todd, the True Guru for Reno. And, of course, I'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. R.C. Rizza, straight out of our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's right. Everybody has studios everywhere, apparently, according to SiriusXM Radio. Everybody's out of a studio. So I guess we're out of a studio, too. This is the last week of Fantasy Football Tonight for the season. We're going to guide you into your championship week and your Merry Christmas weekend as well. And I want to wish all my listeners out there a very Merry Christmas, and I want to thank you again for listening to us, as always. I mean, one of the reasons why RC and I do this show, basically for nothing, we kind of refuted a few advertisers, particularly DraftKings, and we don't like doing that because it puts pressure on us to say what we're being told to say. We don't want to do that. We just want to have fun with our listeners, and we do it for that reason. But just in case you felt like maybe we're giving you bad advice, I remember years on end ago, like 5 years ago, I was getting ripped apart on some ridiculous Roto-World forums about, you know, we're horrible on sound quality. It's like, yeah, whatever, man, dude. It's like I said, you know, when people are doing, you know, podcasts from the house and you're the guy listening to the podcast and you're telling us we're horrible, you need to check yourself. Anyhow, that was years ago. Regardless of that, again, to prove a point to all you guys out there, RC and I, we're not only the kind of experts who give the advice, write the articles, do the blogs, and do the websites, and do everything else that's wonderful in fantasy sports, but we also play. And that's a key ingredient to being a great expert is, you know, being on the battlefield. You can be a top-notch general that got your general stars in peacetime, but if you haven't seen the battlefield, then you don't know what you're talking about. And RC and I, we play on the battlefield. RC plays in about, I would say, maybe 175, 176 leagues every year. And I try to back that up with about 9 every year. RC, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I'm setting up the premise for this final show because, you know, I was just, you know, chit-chatting about, you know, we do play in a lot of leagues. And one of the ways that experts can, you know, can validate, you know, that expert status we've applied to ourselves. It's proven on the field to play. And what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be breaking down as many matchups as we can in about an hour, 10, hour, 15 minutes. I have a Star Wars I have to get to directly after the show. So that's why we're going a little early today. You know, the Force is strong with me. And if I actually had any other of my, you know, I have none of my Star Wars sound bites over here. I apologize. But either way, what we're doing, RC, is we're going to cover 4 matchups that RC and I are involved in. Obviously, they're all championship-level matchups. I'm just going to briefly introduce them all. In our home league, which is very, very competitive, every single member of this league is a top-notch player. RC made the championship in only his second season. Screw you, RC. And he's facing off against Dave Schmidt, one of our top-notch guys. He actually won in his rookie season, and he pretty much goes near to the championship every year. He was one of my single greatest victories this year, RC. I'll tell you that right now, when I beat him on my massive bye week, and I slipped by him. But either way, let us say that's one matchup we're going to cover. The other one is Ball Talk Radio 2 League, RC. I told you, if you mess with the bull, you get the horns, guys. I came in. I just didn't want to win another Blog Talk Radio League. I was like, I can take it easy. I'm making this all up as I go along, by the way. This is all complete fabrication. I didn't want to win the league. So I snuck in with the 8th seed, and I'm in the championship against Jeremy of War Pigs. We'll cover that one a little bit. The other one we're going to cover is, this is a big one, Mike Wars. It's very important, RC. That has to do with this whole entire podcast. Me and RC represent the Fantasy Football Tonight in this league held by Dave Garron. Wonderful league. We've been in it probably for 5 or 6 years. I've won it one time. And RC took me out. It was Fantasy Football Tonight versus Fantasy Football Tonight. And we'll get into that matchup a little later, RC. I'm still angry about it. But RC pulled it out. Now I'm rooting for him in the championship, of course, against, you know, a Parson of Expert League. That's who he's facing. And the final one, if we have time, we're going to cover an Evan Silva Fantasy Sports Writers Association League. Win one for the Gipper, Mr. Todd Greeno, made it to the championship. I had to take down the great one, Evan Silva. And he was great this year. He deserves to have the great one. He absolutely owned this league, dominated me in our final matchup, but I got the best of him in the championship matchup. I had basically the best week of my season, so I can't complain. But that's what it took to beat Evan Silva. And now I'm playing Walton's team in the championship there. All right, RC, before we get to anything, say your piece.
I think you covered everything. The final week, you know what I noticed really made a difference this year is you absolutely have to stay on top of week-to-week adjustments, especially this crazy year. If you didn't do that, then you were just basically left behind. But I tried to do that more diligently this year, and it definitely made a huge difference. You cannot basically, no matter how well you draft, once again, especially given the craziness of the injuries and you know, basically what happens, you know, this week, this year has just been like so nuts with that. It absolutely is imperative that you do that. Otherwise, you know, it's just not going to happen for you. And basically the results, and you know, I can tell like league to league too, like for like the Blog Talk leagues, I really don't think I stayed on top of like pickups as well as I should have. And those were the ones I got knocked off early in the playoffs. And then the other leagues where I paid a little more attention, those turned out better. So, seasoned players obviously know this. You know this, but you know, just to emphasize it, I think is important.
No, I agree. And one thing that I did, I don't want to say I learned from this season, because we've kind of always known this, but one thing that was definitely, I never use the right word, and we get torn up about it. By the way, you know, we got torn up, you know, years ago about not saying the right names, and I'm like, okay. I remember I got Adrian Peterson and Adrian Foster back when he was a rookie. I called him Adrian Foster. I got ripped about it. I just keep remembering those things. It's funny. But anyways, what I think that I kind of saw in front of us this season was you draft for depth. I mean, you definitely want to draft a team full of great depth, especially this year, obviously, a wide receiver. And we knew that coming in with all the guys that were out at the beginning of the season. But, you know, a lot of times in the season, you let go of some of those guys that you drafted, last name Johnson, you let them go, and then you say, I can only hold David on my roster so long. I can only hold, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw on my roster so long. I can only hold, you know, these guys, all these guys that eventually now, at the end of the season, obviously not a bad broadcast. He's obviously out for the IR, but he had at least one good week in there for you if you said you held on him. But like guys like David Johnson, who I drafted in a couple leagues, and I know RC covered him in almost every league, is now paying dividends in the weeks where you need him. So if you take a piece of advice from me next year, when you do draft for depth next year, which you always do, all of our listeners are smart enough to do that, you know, hang on to those key sleeper picks that you pick up late in the draft as long as you can. I mean, for the love of God, cut a kicker if you have to. Only carry one defense. Don't cut those sleeper guys that you pick up because they could prove invaluable. He might be the third string running back on a team, but by week 8, he can be the starter. Just go ask the 49ers. Just go ask, the Patriots, who I believe just signed Steven Jackson. And no, don't start Steven Jackson. Anyhow, RC,
you bring up an interesting point. I think those of us that were patient with David Johnson, you know, it definitely paid dividends, but it was very hard to be. And I know there was one league I drafted him in where I just dropped him. And it really, at the time, didn't seem to be the wrong thing to do. And I'm sure there are, you know, a lot of players that did that because, you know, that situation was basically, you know, Chris Johnson was playing well. Andre Ellington came back. He was slotted in as, you know, the number two guy. And David Johnson, you can tell every time he touched the ball, he was productive, but he just simply wasn't getting the snaps. And if you needed a spot on your roster, you had to drop him. But you know, trying to make the argument why you would keep David Johnson over, and here's a guy that I think almost everyone has still held on to, and probably shouldn't have, but C.J. Anderson, right? So how do you draw the contrast between deciding to hold on to David Johnson and deciding to hold on to C.J. Anderson? You know, I think, like you said, if you definitely planned David Johnson to be backing up, say you drafted Andre Ellington, because no one drafted Chris Johnson. You drafted Andre Ellington, David Johnson was your plan B, then, yeah, maybe you held on to him. But under what premise at this point in the season or even a month ago would you still hold on to C.J. Anderson?
Folks are doing it. Let me say this, and I've said this before, and I tend to rub some of my friends the wrong way in the industry. And trust me, that number dwindles sometimes because I just don't take the path that everybody else takes. But one of the things I've tried to do on this show, RC, over 9 years, especially over like the last 4 or 5 years, is I don't try to say I know. And especially, and that's why I got so heated, and we're not getting into DFS stuff, but that's why I got so heated about the DFS stuff, because when you're playing with money, you know, more money than like a little league fee for a whole year, but when you're playing with money every week, you know, you want to give the best advice possible. And I always get upset that it's like, well, if you guys are these super duper experts, did I get enough dupers in there? Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, Dan Marino. Oh, my God, I'm going to keep going. Miami Dolphins undefeated season? No, that was wrong Dolphins. Anyhow, when I do that kind of stuff, you know, I try not to say I know. I don't try to say I know because, you know, when I do that, then I'm telling the listeners, like, yeah, I know Dave Johnson's going to go off this week. Well, I know he is. No, I don't know that. I have no idea. So what I try to do, and I kind of get upset at these experts who are playing with people's money, and then they don't pick up on Michael Floyd before he breaks out and goes crazy. I mean, he was on the wires in every league I was in, and he busted out. I got him in a couple of leagues. But for the most part, in every league, he was on the wires early on in the season. Then all of a sudden, that's all they're talking about is Michael Floyd. And I'm sure I have not been listening to Sirius Radio the last couple of weeks, but I'm sure all they're talking about is David Johnson. But where were you guys before that? Because, you see, in Evan Silva's league, in the Evan Silva league, I picked up David Johnson merely out of desperation. I was so desperate in running backs that I said, listen, I need to add depth. I don't know where these guys are going to be for me, but I need to add this guy because I'm taking injuries. I got Doug Martin, and, you know, in another league I picked up Powell. By the way, what an outstanding player he's been for 2 weeks in a row for me, for the Jets. And so, you know, you pick him up ahead of time because you say, listen, I'm seeing what's going on in Arizona, and I know Arians doesn't like to play rookies too much. He's already kind of talked about that he's going to, you know, slowly get David Johnson in there. But if there's any chance he has a chance of being an impact player later in the season, especially with the beat-up Chris Johnson, I'm taking that chance. And I took that chance, and that's where, you know, again, I didn't know, and I'm not going to say I knew, but I had an idea. Do I have an idea that he's going to be amazing? No, absolutely not. You and I both know his skill. We discussed him in the preseason, and when I saw him still out there, I'm like, what? And I picked him up. So, and now I'm probably going to win this league because I have him on my roster, and I was able to, you know, put him alongside of the NFL's leading rusher, Doug Martin, and do well. All right, RC, let's go ahead and get into our four matchups. Well, if we have time maybe we'll do mine second to last, the Gipper League one. But I want to open up with the Mike Wars League. That's the one I want to go to first. We're going to cover a lot of players in this. We're going to cover matchups, and we're just going to talk randomly about players because we're going to try to make sure we get to all these matchups and cover a lot of players for your championship week. And we hope that in this, by doing it this way, you guys will get coverage of your players. I don't believe we're going to have Kenny today because we're way early, but let me check that. Yeah, no, Kenny, I don't know if we're going to have him. That really stinks. All right, RC, so you're facing off against Parson. What's his first name again, RC?
Stephen?
Stephen Parson, yeah. He's, you know, these two guys are guys who basically run the league, and I'm facing off against his other part. It's amazing. In this league, you got two co-hosts of shows facing off against each other for the championship and then for the third place game. Because, you know, I'm facing off against, of course, his partner, Dean. What's his last name? I'm blanking on his last name. I'm so terrible at names. Dean, but I'm facing off against his podcast partner. So you really should have had him on the show because we're going head-to-head here. Their combined record was, looks like I'm trying to, it's 15 and 11, and our combined record was 17 and 9. Thank you to my 10-3 finish. I love this league. I always do very well in this league. All right, RC, let's talk about it. So in this one, you're going to be going with the venerable Kirk Cousins. Now, this is a guy who's been lighting it up for fantasy teams. But he does well at home, not as well on the road. And he's also facing a desperate Philadelphia team who has to win this game. On the flip side, your opponent is putting together Aaron Rodgers, who has been the single biggest disappointment next to Andrew Luck this season. Embarrassed the crap out of me because you know how much I love quarterbacks in the first round, and both of them have been crap. And he's going to be on the road against Arizona. So I'm going to say to you, I like what you're doing here. I like the fact that you're going to go with Cousins, and I want you to tell me what you think. But the reason why I like it is because you don't have another option except for Tyrod Taylor against the Cowboys, which might not be horrible, but I say go with Cousins because if he does blow up Philadelphia, and Philadelphia has a nuclear meltdown, which I think we're all keeping our fingers crossed for, that we all know that Aaron Rodgers is going to struggle against Arizona. Are you comfortable with that matchup?
Well, and but this was the league I lost Andrew Luck. So, and I dropped him a couple weeks ago, and that turned out to be the right thing to do because, you know, he's not coming back this week, it doesn't seem. And so I had probably Flacco for a couple weeks, and then I've been using Taylor. And then, you know, I actually just this week I picked up Cousins. And I can't say that I'm really that optimistic. I think with Cousins, I really don't think he's a good quarterback. He's certainly not as good as what last week looked like. And you, like you're saying, you bring up some valid points about how this could turn into a disaster where they're on the road against Philadelphia, who is extremely unpredictable in every regard. Every regard as to, you know, which tight end is going to catch passes, what running back are they going to use, what defense is going to show up, you know, how many special teams touchdowns they could score. You just have no idea what's going to happen with Philadelphia. So this could very well be a game where I get 5 points out of Kirk Cousins, and I realize that. The thing is with Taylor, they just lost Robert Woods, who, granted, isn't great and wasn't having a great season, but at least he was somebody across from Watkins that you had to worry about a little bit. And now they're down to Chris Hogan, Marcus Easley. I think Charles Clay is coming back this week. So, but Dallas is a tougher matchup against the pass. So I'm just rolling the dice with Cousins, but I'm not feeling great about it. Aaron Rodgers has looked awful for probably, you know, over a month. And at Arizona's got to be a tough matchup. I can't see him lighting it up. So I say he still beats me by as much as 10 points in the QB category, though. Maybe Cousins is a pleasant surprise, and I do okay with him. But, you know, like you're saying, between Tyrod Taylor and Cousins, you know, you have to give Cousins just a small edge.
Yeah, no, you do, and I think you're being a little bit modest. And while I appreciate that, I do think that this is going to be a tight matchup in quarterbacks because Kirk Cousins is going to be throwing often, early and often this game. That's the beautiful thing about him. Rodgers is just not going to find success probably until later in the game. I have noticed that the Arizona will give up to good quality quarterbacks. We'll give up points later in the game when that defense tires down. So I assume, especially when they start bringing in the backups if this game becomes a blowout. And I could see Rodgers getting some garbage points here. But I do see this one being a tight one. I'm not going to say Cousins is going to outscore Rodgers. I'm dealing with Rodgers in another league, so I'm hoping he does well. But, you know, it's not going to be there. Let's take a look at these. We'll take really quickly look at the, you know, your dominating receivers, which is what did me. And, oh, by the way, just to let you know, I got to say this, RC. You beat me. RC beat me in the matchup leading up to this one for the championship, and dethroned me after I had the bye week and after I finished with the number one ranking team in the league. He beat me. Are you ready for this, RC? You know this. He put up 196 points against me. And I'm like, wow. Somebody puts up 200 points in a league like this because the scoring's not very giving in this one. You know, 4 points for passing touchdown type league. He has 196 to 108 lead on me going into Monday night. And I'm like, I don't have a chance. But I had four players. Remember we talked about this last week. I was overloaded with Saints. I had Breeze, Cooks, Watson, and Hightower. And I rolled with that. And RC finished with a four-point victory. 4 points. And I told RC, I told you on the phone earlier today that when Breeze hit Colston for that touchdown, that second-to-last touchdown he threw, I was really hoping that would have been Watson or Cooks because that would have given it to me because the next touchdown was a Watson. And really that's what I needed was for Breeze to connect with one of my three guys. I could have been obviously Hightower. One of my three guys, and I would have beaten you. But You won fair and square, and, I mean, I've never seen in my history a better, you know, playoff matchup of two juggernaut teams going head-to-head. So as far as I'm concerned, I can care less about these expert league Parsons and Dean. I'm kidding to them. If they're listening, I'm so kidding. But, you know, the championship matchup, you know, was already played, 196 to 192. I mean, that's two Goliaths going at it. Anyhow, I forgot to talk about that. Your receivers are what did me in. You did me, first of all, you embarrassed me with Kamir Aiken after I make fun of him. I mean, and he got that awesome, that Hail Mary, which so I lost to a Hail Mary, but I really lost to. But Sammy Watkins and Julio Jones came through for you big time this week. You know, and then you also have Stephon Diggs, who also came through for you. That is a devastating crew of wide receivers. Now, looking on the opposite side, this is what you're competing with. You know, he, too, is going to be going with basically three wide receivers and tight end, but we'll just call four wide receivers. Jeffrey, who is questionable, I'm not even sure he's going to play this week. You can let me know when you talk about it. But then Doug Baldwin, who's been lights out, and I have him on my Evan Silva lead team. And then, of course, you have Allen Hurns. And then, of course, he's going to be going with Antonio Gates, who's been a dead apple most of the season. But still, nonetheless, his best possible player. Now, he might swap out James Jones if he wants to get ballsy and go with James Jones, or he might swap out and put a Theo Reddick in there. Who knows? He also has Darren McFadden on his bench. So who knows who he'll go with that Antonio Gates spot. But Antonio Gates seems to be maybe behind McFadden's better play. But do you feel that in order for you to win this matchup that – And let's throw the tight end in here. Let's just throw all the receiving people in here. He has Olsen and you have Barnage. Do you feel that this is where you're going to, if you're going to win this matchup, these are the five players that will win it for you? Forget the quarterbacks. Forget you have Freeman and Bernard, and he has Peterson and D'Angelo Williams. And forget the defensive kickers. Do you feel that those five players are where you're going to win or lose this match?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the thing was, unfortunate for you, these players had easier matchups last week, and this week the edge goes to Mr. Parson because, you know, Baldwin is playing St. Louis, who they're, you know, fairly shaky against the pass. Hurns is going against New Orleans, and conversely, and Jeffrey, like you're saying, well, by the way, he's got a tight hamstring and he didn't practice today, but everyone's expecting him to play, and if he does, he's facing Tampa Bay, which is a pretty cake matchup. And on my side, I've got Julio Jones facing Carolina, Sammy Watkins facing Dallas, Aiken facing Pittsburgh, whose defense has really played well, you know, over probably the last 2 months or so. So, you know, I can't see those guys going crazy like they did last week. You know, and especially Watkins has just been so erratic He's been pretty good the last four games, but really before that, he was undependable. He's scored in four weeks straight. He's actually got six touchdowns in the last 4 weeks, which is pretty incredible. So we'll see if he can keep that up, but, you know, I don't know. And then facing Carolina's defense hasn't been easy this year, obviously, and that's – I've got Devonta Freeman and Julio Jones going against them. So it's going to be tough. Yahoo has me losing by 20 points, and that sounds probably about right.
I've seen plenty of teams put up large numbers against Carolina. Let me tell you something about Carolina's defense. Carolina has an outstanding cornerback and an outstanding linebacker, and the rest of their team is pretty good. You know, that's the kind of defense they have. They have Norman, they have Luke Lee, and then after that they have a very, very solid team. I might be missing somebody in there because I can't name all 700 players in the NFL, but they obviously have a very solid defense, but it's led by those two guys. Well, Norman is going to be, no matter how you look at it, he's going to learn a lesson that every other cornerback has learned, and that he's a complete and utter mismatch for Julio Jones. So I don't see a problem there. I think he's going to have his coverage. He's going to do well. But the key here is going to be them putting pressure on Ryan. But guess what? When they put pressure on Ryan, they drop the ball to Freeman, and you're going to get the catches out of Freeman. I believe in this matchup, you're going to finish with 20 catches out of those two guys. And that's how it's going to be, because it's either going to go to Julio Jones or it's going to be a drop to Freeman. I think the rest of the players on that Atlanta Falcon offense need to sit down and just watch, because that's what's going to happen. He's probably going to throw 30 complete passes in the game, maybe if he can have a reasonable game, and he'll throw 20 of them to Devonta Freeman, who basically is averaging about 6 or 7 catches a game. Julio Jones is averaging about 46 catches a game, so I believe you'll get at least 20 out of that. Now, I love Watkins. I think Watkins is one of the best wide receivers in the league. I think he's a stud for years to come. I had to talk somebody out of one of my, and it was another expert, from cutting him earlier in the season. I'm not going to lie, it was my brother. I mean, he's like, oh, I don't want anything to do with Sam Watkins. There's better players, you know, on the run. I said, dude, you need to keep him. He's a great wide receiver. If he's on any other team, he's the number one wide receiver in the league. He's a little immature. Give him time. He's produced. I think you're going to be fine with this team. I do think you're going to have problems in the running back situation. I mean, you have to hope that, you know, Devonta Freeman, at least point-wise, can compete with Adrian Peterson. That's a killer matchup for Steven. You know, he needs to dominate his running backs. His running backs need to beat the crap out of yours. I'm not going to lie here. They need to. And he has the power to do it. I mean, he has D'Angelo Williams at Baltimore, and he has Peterson at Cleveland. At Minnesota against New York. So, you know, he has two very, very good matchups for his running backs. But running backs, just because they get a good matchup, don't always dominate. So if they don't dominate, and then you have your two, you have Bernard, I think he has a great matchup against Denver. And I'll tell you this why. Denver's got great corners. Denver's got a great pass rush. Bernard is a great guy to go in there and to do a lot of screen passes, get around that fast Denver rush, and also get a lot of drop-off passes, you know, when the quarterback's under pressure and everybody's covered. So I really do think, and then, of course, Freeman, I think, will have a fine game. So I really do think that this is one where you're going to probably – now, you're not going to beat him, but you're going to keep it close enough to where he doesn't get the points he needs to make up for the receiver situation that he's in. And, again, we'll see if Jeffrey's going to play. What is the latest status that you've heard on Jeffrey?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he missed practice today. He's got a tight hamstring, but you know, that's been a recurring pattern for him, and you know, he's been playing. So I would think that they're probably just resting him, and that he's going to be fine for Sunday.
I got to ask you something. Why would you not start Amari Cooper, you know, against San Diego, and I believe it's in Oakland against San Diego, is it not? Why would you not start him? I don't care where it's at. It is in Oakland. You have Amari Cooper in Oakland against a team that can't cover nobody, and you're going to start Kamir Akin against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We actually have an okay secondary, but, I mean, it's Matt pick six job. Why would you not start? I'm going to tell you right now, you need to flip that right now.
You know why Cooper was questionable coming up into today, and now – now he's probable, so I might actually change that. But being that he was questionable, that's why I was staying away from him. And also with Cooper, I think he's got an incredibly bright future ahead of him. But, you know, he's still a rookie, and he's been pretty inconsistent this year. You know, remember, it was just a short 2 weeks ago where he had 8 targets and 0 points against Denver, right? So it's not like he's a sure thing yet. He's probably going to be that maybe next year, but it's not yet. So I don't think Cooper's like a start no matter what guy. Like Julio Jones, I don't care who he's playing. I'm starting him. Sammy Watkins, I think, has earned that as well, although he's not as consistent. The thing I like about Aiken is that there is nobody else there. And not only that, but through like all the crazy quarterback changes, some voluntary, involuntary, or whatever, Flacco obviously got hurt. He's been consistent. He's been really the most targeted guy over there. So, Yahoo agrees,
but
too.
You know
Yahoo
that,
right? I'm sorry?
Do you know that he's been the most targeted? You know he's been the most targeted guy, right?
Well,
right? You know.
I can't imagine. Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Over since their bye week,
you're right. He has been. So you know that. Guess who else knows that?
What, the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are desperate for a playoff. They're fighting for a playoff spot. I think the Steelers go into there, and Will Allen and company lock down Kamir Aiken and say, if you want to beat us with your running game, blah, 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 on that one. Beat us with one of your other players, but you're not going to beat us with Kamir Aiken. I say go with
Amari Cooper
in a fun shootout.
The Steelers, their defense plays good as a unit. They don't have the individual guys. They certainly don't have any shutdown guys. So I think this is a game where Pittsburgh should really beat the snot out of Baltimore. And I think Aiken is going to be in line for garbage time where they have soft coverage, semi-prevent kind of stuff. And he just gets garbage points. And obviously for fantasy, we're fine with that. This is not Pittsburgh versus Baltimore 5 years ago where it was a field goal contest, you know. This is basically Pittsburgh is just going to come at you and blow you out, and Baltimore is just awful this year. So that's why.
All right. We'll see. I think Amari Cooper is going to outscore me. I have a caller, by the way, so I want to get to that caller really quickly. But I will say this to you. I'm going to bet you that Amari Cooper is probably going to have a multiple touchdown game against the Chargers. I think this is going to be a fun rivalry game. Neither team is really in a playoff run. Obviously, the Chargers are way out of it. They're both way out of it. So, really, it's just going to be a fun game for the fans, and I think they're going to put on an aerial show in that game.
Starting Diggs over Cooper. Now, that was the one that may not make sense.
That one makes sense. It's at home against the Giants, and Diggs has been absolutely dominant. And if you haven't seen, Giants can't stop anybody. I think they've had a couple of six TD quarterbacks. They only had one. So, no, I like Diggs. The questionable one here is Aiken. You got to go with Julio Jones, regardless of who he's going up against. And Sammy Watkins may be questionable. I mean, Dallas does do that bend but don't break defense, that Doug Marinelli defense. I'm kidding. That's the ex-catcher for the Red Sox, Marinelli. His defense is a bend but don't break. We throw safeties back. You'll get a lot of short passes, but you won't get the long pass against us. And that takes away Sammy Watkins. I'm telling you right now, I would start Amari Cooper over both Watkins and Aiken, but Aiken is just the guy that you have to worry about, especially when he's a one-man show on a team that Pittsburgh Steelers are going in and saying, we're going to double up Aiken and we're gonna shut down the Ravens. But we need to move on to another matchup. I think you're going to win this matchup, RC, only because I love you. That's why. But, I mean, other than that, I think you can win it. But I think we have a caller who probably has a championship question for us. So let me go ahead and bring him in, and we'll get back to the matchups. 347 area code. You're on the air with the Gurus.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are you tonight?
Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. So I was in 4 leagues this year, made it to 2 championships.
Oh,
so
very good.
Yeah, not doing too bad. Made the playoffs in my other two leagues, but I got blown out last week, so there was really nothing I could do. All right, so here are a couple questions. One, all right, in my flex, I'm going with Tyler Lockett, but here's who I have that could possibly go there. Chandrone, Hillman, Denard Robinson, Dez Bryant, or Julio Jones. Should I stick with Lockett?
You've got Julio Jones?
James Jones. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I wouldn't be calling you if I had Julio.
That's right. Sorry.
James Jones.
Well, let me help out at first. Let me start off with RC, and then you continue. Number one, I would just throw Drones out of there, and I would throw Denard Robinson. Denard Robinson, I loved him last year when he came
oh,
in.
Oh, so did I.
You know,
great
and been replaced. Yeah, but then you know you also see though that he gets like 20 carries for 31 yards. He's because you know he's a converted wide receiver if I'm not mistaken, and you know so he's great at catching out of the backfield. But I think in this game, I think you should roll the dice. This is your championship game, and I'm going to give the advice first in this one. And I'm doing the same thing that I'm about to advise you on. Because I benched Dez Bryant last week, and I kind of paid the price for it. I still won, but I paid the price for it. I think with that kid Moore in there, Kellen Moore, I think that, you know, the chips are off the table now, or whatever that term is, and let's let it fly. And I say you go with your stud, and let's see what happens in Buffalo, because that can be a shootout in Buffalo. It could be a fun game. Bills are going to win it, but, you know, it could be where the Cowboys put on three touchdowns and Bryant gets two of them. I would go with him and just say, this is my guy, this is my championship, roll with Bryant. What do you think, RC?
Yeah, so who are the other guys? I heard James Jones, I heard Denard Robinson. Evidently, you also have Dez Bryant. You're starting Lockett.
Sean
there were some other.
Yeah, Chandrone and Hillman. Chandrone and Ronnie Hillman.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. Yeah, Chandrone I'd be careful with this week. He's got some injury issues, so you may not even see him. Hillman has just been very average. So, yeah, I would rule those guys out. I think, you know, you definitely – I like your idea with Lockett. You know, that Seattle passing game has just been really on fire for, the last month or so. But
yeah.
Now St. Louis, you know, they're a little bit vulnerable and they'll probably give up a big play or two, but they're not a bad defense. They rank actually 7 against the pass. And I agree with Todd. I like what happened with when they went from Cassell to Moore. You kind of wish they just did that early. Cassell is just done. He was done probably five years ago.
Yeah.
He was done after, you know, his second relief appearance with the Patriots, I guess. But, yeah, I like the idea with Dez Bryant and Kellen Moore. He is your best player. And if you're going to lose in the championship, you might as well do it with your best player. But there is reason for optimism with that other quarterback. I was watching a game, you know, against the Jets, and he did throw three interceptions, but there was a noticeable difference, a lot more zip on his passes. And I agree with Todd where, you know, Dez Bryant really needs to be utilized correctly for them to have any chance, and they should do that. And Buffalo has been very sketchy against the pass. Matter of fact, they rank 26th out of 32 teams against the wide receiver position. So it's looking like a pretty good matchup.
Okay, so you guys are saying Dez Bryant. All right. So my second question, same team, defense. I got the Chiefs. I got the Bengals. Also, the Steelers are out there on waivers. Should I pick up the Steelers and start them, or should I go with the Chiefs or the Bengals?
I love these questions, RC. I love these questions, and in fact, I have the same dilemma he has. You know how much I love defenses and trench warfare. First of all, I have the Bengals, the Chiefs, and the Packers. Don't ask me why I sell the Packers. I just have them for some reason. I am going with the Chiefs in every league that I have them in. They have an absolutely dominant matchup this week. Yeah, I mean, you got Cleveland and Johnny Manziel. And by the way, there's a lot of people who rip Johnny Manziel. I think he has shown a lot of progress this year. He's not an awesome quarterback, you know, to any degree yet, but he's shown progress. And I have, you know, who knows what he might turn out to be. But it's not going to happen this week. You're going to be at Kansas City. And I've been at Arrowhead for a Cowboy game, and those are definitely awesome fans. And this is going to be a very, very, very bad game for the Cleveland Browns. You need to roll with the hottest defense, really, in the league. in the Kansas City Chiefs, no question about it. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I have the Bengals in two leagues. They're my top defense, them and the Broncos this year for drafting. But I since picked up Kansas City in waivers, which I'm sure you did too, and they've been lights out. Go Kansas City. RC?
Yeah, I have them ranked actually as my number two defense this week, the Chiefs. The Steelers are real close, you know, and, you know, that situation with Baltimore, you know, Jimmy Clausen, you know, is not going to really invoke fear in anyone. And, you know, he's obviously a risky start and, you know, prone to mistakes. But I agree with Todd. And also, the Browns have given – I usually go by, like, the sacks that an offense gives up. And Cleveland has given up the second most sacks of any team in the league, 46. Baltimore has only given up 22. Meaning that their offensive line is probably a bit tighter. Baltimore has given up more interceptions. So if you get what is your scoring? Do you get like 2 points per sack and 2 points per interception? What is it?
I think in this league, right, you get 2 points for a sack and 2 points for an interception, and then certain points for yardage total. It's a standard league.
Oh, so you get points for yardage given up too. That's a good system. Yeah, because otherwise it's kind of like the, you know, fluky. You're kind of depending on like a, you know, defensive touchdown, which, you know, God knows if you can guess when that's going to happen. But yeah, I agree. I think you got to go with the Chiefs. But Steelers are looking pretty good too. You probably can't go wrong with them either. Bengals I'd stay away from against Denver.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Good stuff. Now my second league. Here's the question, big question. Championship game, I've got Drew Brees. I also have on the bench Eli Manning and Tyrod Taylor. Who do I go with? Brees with a torn plantar fasciitis. Who should I go with?
Well, I think they were getting word today about his status, so that – you know, there is a remote chance they might make that decision easy for you, but it does look like he's going to play. And he's going to play because it seems that with that particular injury, you can't really risk further damage. So you have to hope that he's going to be the Drew Brees that you expect. Now, it is against Jacksonville, so that's looking good because Jacksonville ranks 30th against quarterbacks.
Right.
With Manning, I would say if Odell Beckham was playing, I would just go with Manning in this case. However, he's not. Well, unless he wins his appeal, which I think the final word might have came in by now, or it didn't look good anyway. So if you know that Brees is playing, I think you go with him. If Beckham plays, I'd go with Eli. And then Taylor, I don't think is as good as either of those two options.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with him. I mean, if Beckham is in the game, your safer bet is to go with Manning. I think Drew Brees will be fine. I mean, he played through the injury and did just fine against a better defense. You know, one that was applying certainly more pressure than Jacksonville will apply, and he did fine. And again, I have that dilemma, and I have you know, Bridgewater backing up Manning. Brees in not a championship game, thanks to RC, it's a third place game, but nonetheless, I have him, and I will be going with Drew Brees. If he's going to go out on the field and play, I mean, he's a competitor, and he does it for the fans, and according to the doctors, he can't injure it any more than he already has, and they'll just tape him up and keep him protected. But if Beckham is in there to avoid any early, you know, him leaving the game early, I would just go with Manning and hope that Manning gets into a shootout.
Ooh, okay, cool stuff. My last question at the running back. I was starting Jonathan Stewart, but I picked up Artis Payne. Should I start Artis Payne this week, or should I go on the waiver wire and pick up Christian Michael?
Go ahead, RC.
I like Artis Payne. You know, last week it was supposed to be like a three-way mess between Fozzie Whitaker, Payne, and Tolbert. And it just seemed Payne just outplayed both those guys. Whitaker, you know, that was predictable because he's just awful. But Tolbert, you know, you kind of figured he'd get more carries, and Payne just outplayed them. I think you're pretty safe with Payne. The I think, you know, Christian Michaels is one of those guys that's just really quizzical because he seems really talented. And then, you know, outside of last week, he never did anything. And, you know, last week, of course, he got those 84 yards. You know, he is going against the Rams, who their vulnerability is against the running back position. Michael might be safer if he gets the carries, and that might be what happens in this game, where it looks like the Seahawks would, when they can run, that seems to be their preference. But you just have to wonder. I mean, Todd, what do you think about the reliability of Michael, given his, you know,
No, I love what you're saying because I agree with you 100%. Basically, this is exactly why fantasy football would be considered gambling, because you have to gamble with Christian Michael or with Artis Payne. They're both gambles because not only do they both have running quarterbacks who can create their own yards on the ground, but are also two of the hottest quarterbacks, if not the two hottest quarterbacks in the NFL right now, who are throwing lights out. So putting those little, you know, caveats onto this question, now you're saying, well, what good is either runner? Well, I'll tell you this right now. The one who's known for throwing the ball to the running back, more out of the two of them, is definitely going to be Artis Payne. You know, he's going to get a lot more passes, at least more passing opportunities, than Russell Wilson will throw to Christian Michael. Artis Payne's also been with the team the whole year. You know, Christian Michael's been with the team, not been with the team, and now been with the team. So clearly he's a desperation pickup. I would agree with RC and just roll the dice with Artis Payne. But you're gambling either way. Either way you're gambling.
Yeah, well, one other factor that's in Payne's favor is that the Falcons are actually ranked 30th against the run, where the St. Louis ranks 25th. So as bad as St. Louis has been, the Falcons have been even worse. So that definitely plays in Payne's favor as well.
Okay, man. Great stuff, guys. I think I'm going to be ready for these championship games to get the win. So appreciate the help.
All right, no problem, man.
No problem.
Good luck.
Good luck, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good holiday.
You too.
You too. Sure. All right, RC, let's get to the next matchup I want to get to. It's a home league matchup. This is a money league. No gambling, just money league. RC's been in this league 2 years, got throttled last year in his rookie season, learned a lesson, came back this year.
Oh, no. This is my third year. What happened was the first year I did okay. I think I made the playoffs and got knocked off in the first round. The second year I got destroyed, and then this year I made it to the final game. So it's actually my third year.
So what I like to do, because I'm the commissioner of this league, because I go out and I like to, you know, handicap these matchups. So I'm going to give you a little handicap on this one, RC, and then I want you to give me your take on it. You're facing a very, very skilled, competitor. This is a guy who's been in the league, I think, one or two more years more than you, because he's been doing this league for now 16 years. And he's been in the league 15 or 16. We started in 2000. And he's been, you know, and he's been in the league, I think, about two more years than you have been. He makes the playoffs virtually every year. I think he's missed the playoffs one time. And if you would have actually beaten him in the last week, and then I would have actually managed to win my matchup, I would have been in the playoffs. But instead, I'm playing for the Toilet Bowl Championship. That's right. But I'm not. So here's how it goes. You know, he's throwing the hot Matthew Stafford against you. He's throwing. I'm going to give down a breakdown of the team. This is his championship team: Stafford, Green, Ted Ginn Jr., Tyler Lockett, Darren McFadden, Giovanni Bernard, Jordan Reed, Buck Allen, McManus, and Carolina. Now, one of the reasons why his team was doing so well is you can see he has a lot of waiver pickups there. I mean, you cannot deny right now. Ginn off waivers, Lockett off waivers, McFadden was certainly off waivers. I promise you, he was available for a chunk of the year. And, of course, he got Buck Allen off waivers. So he's playing you with a well-constructed team of improved players where he had to fill in holes. and he's put together a championship team that currently only has a 5-point spread on you, according to the Yahoo predictions, which to me means this is an absolute even matchup. So I like his quarterback, Stafford. I think he's been all right this year. He has a great matchup at home against San Francisco. But you have Carr going at home against San Diego. I think you have the edge there, and apparently Yahoo doesn't agree with me, but I believe you have the edge there. Stafford is no certainty to throw an awesome game, but he has been hot. Where I think you get the edge, and where I think this game is going to probably lean towards, again, are those three wide receivers in that flex position for you and for him. You lead out, again, with another strong wide receiving core of Evans, Julio Jones, and Eric Decker, and you back it up with Dante Moncrief out of your wide receiver, your flex position. He on the other hand, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah,
I know
let me ask
take
about
out Moncrief,
that.
Right?
I'm sorry?
You're going to take out Moncrief, right?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about
right?
that. So I think I put Moncrief in there because once I have Cooper, and you know now he's probable. I also picked up Artis Payne, so it's definitely going to be one of those two guys instead of Moncrief. I'm not leaving Moncrief in there. What do you think out of those two
guys?
Yeah,
I mean, well, I've already told you, I think that if Amari Cooper is playing, which is only probable, he's in market to probable, just a little foot injury, you got to go with Cooper because he could have just a 20-point day, and that's what you really want to get out of him. You want to get that 20 points out of him. And if you get that, you're just going to be flying on all cylinders. So, and even if you get a 15-point day out of him, and I see you have Artis Payne, the problem I have with him is that this is the Cam Newton show. It's not the Artis Payne show. On the flip side, it is the Amari Cooper show. So I would definitely, roll with your top pick, guy who's been fantastic for you, just came off a great week against a better defense in the Green Bay Packers. But if you can get that 18 to 20 points out of Amari Cooper, that's going to be absolutely devastating to your opponent because that's a position where he's not expecting that, especially with the powerhouse wide receivers in Evans and Julio Jones. What I'm trying to say for you is that out of those four positions, you want to get 80 points. You want to strive for 80 points out of those four guys. And you can do it with Julio Jones, no problem. You can do it with Mike Evans against Chicago, at home against Chicago, probably no problem. Eric Decker is always a hit or miss. I'm not even so sure that, he's going to be really a good start against New England because for some reason the Jets always flop against New England. But
Before you go on with that line of thought, you realize that Decker has – he's been remarkably consistent. I mean, he's basically scored, let's see, how many touchdowns does he have? He has one, two. He's almost scored in every game. He's scored in every game except three so far, which is really remarkably consistent. He averages around, looks about 8 to 9 targets a game, averages around 6 catches a game, and he's been at about maybe.
What did he do against the Patriots last game? What did he do against the Patriots?
6 catches for 94 yards. No touchdown.
Okay. So there you go. So that's what you should be expecting out of Decker. And that's not a bad game. I mean, 94 yards, even if he gets 100 yards, that's not a horrible game. That's probably going to be about 12 points if he does that. So what I'm saying to you now is that what you want to roll with, or did you want to roll with Amari Cooper, who can put up 2 touchdowns, 6 catches, and 170 yards? I mean, what is
this? Yeah, but the choice is in between. I mean, I'm going to leave Decker in. The choice was taking Moncrief out and putting Cooper in, which I'm doing because Moncrief is too inconsistent.
Okay. Yep. Absolutely. So we'll just leave it at that. I think you should go with Cooper. Always go with the wide receivers in this day and age, especially if you have a dominant wide receiver. You have to go with them. It's just the way the ball is going to bounce in this case. So I think with those wide receivers, that's why you got to the championship with your depth at wide receiver. And I believe that's why you're going to win the championship this year, is on your wide receivers. Now, let's look at your running backs are stellar. I mean, this is a league where not only this is why you're in the championship, because you put together a fantastic wide receiving crew, even with your depth of Moncrief, and, of course, you have Artis Payne and other guys on your depth. But you're going with Gurley and David Johnson, two outstanding running backs who are going to carry the rock plenty. I mean, you're probably looking at 45 carries between the two of them. And they're both going against beatable. Gurley's going to have a challenge with Seattle, but he should be fine because he's a very good running back. And then, of course, David Johnson's, you know, going to be at home against the Packers. I think that's absolutely filthy. Your opponent is throwing at you what I would consider to be two not filthy running backs, and Darren McFadden, who's solid, not filthy, and then Giovanni Bernard, who is basically a pass-catching, third down back type of situational guy. I mean, he plays a lot more than that, but the bottom line is that that's not the ferocity of his running backs are not yours. So here you go. This is what I'm saying for your team. You get that 80 points out of your four receivers, all of a sudden you're going to probably, you know, without a doubt, outscore them at the running back position. You get 80 points and you outscore them at running backs, I don't think the rest of this matchup even matters. Disagree or agree?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I just noticed of course Jason was in this league, and I'm wondering how anyone beat him, and it was obviously my opponent this week. And I'm looking at like how that happened, and it's kind of interesting. I guess Danny Amendola is the one who screwed him.
I was really hoping for, because I was going to make a big deal of it. If prime time, if it was you versus prime time, that was going to be a big deal matchup, but he didn't. He faded at the end there.
Well, no, but I'm looking at the guy. Well, and this is a common theme, I'm sure, for a lot of people this year. Lamar Miller screwed a lot of teams because no one was expecting.
What did I say to Kenny? What did I say to Kenny like 3 weeks ago? I said Lamar Miller is going to be a guy who's going to knock you out of your championship. Remember we were talking about, we had a show like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said, well, these are guys that you might not want to, you just don't want to have to deal with because they could end up hurting you.
Yeah, I think you did say that. It's a shame because he's definitely been useful this year, but you're right, though. Certainly he couldn't have picked the worst time to put up 4 points. But the 2 weeks before that, you know, he was averaging about 17 points. And then when you go before that, you know, he played the Jets in Dallas and didn't do very well, but that was kind of predictable. And then before that, he was one of the top running backs in the league. And against San Diego, that was really unanticipated, I think, for him to put up that. But anyway.
All right. Well, I mean, so that's where I think this matchup's going to go. Of course, the rest of the matchup, for people to know, like I said, he has Jordan Reed, who had an outstanding week last week, probably won it for him. So I don't really see that coming again, but he definitely has the advantage of tight end on you and, you know, with Will Tye, but that's really not a big deal. Of course, we said he has Buck Allen, who's going to, you know, be all right against Pittsburgh, but probably is going to be not running too much once the Pittsburgh Steelers take off in that game. And then, of course, he has McManus in the Carolina defense, absolutely filthy defense he has. But you have the Jets versus New England. So before we move on to our final matchup, what do you think about the Jets defense against New England? And I'm gonna put a caveat on that question. I love the word caveat. It's my ping question, my ping word of the month, caveat. The caveat is, if you had the choice between those two defenses, the New York Jets and the New England Patriots, who would you actually play? And but the answer to the first one, are the Jets gonna have a game against New England?
I really have no idea. I would love to say that I had any inkling whatsoever, but I don't. I'm just sticking with the Jets. I didn't even look at who's out there. They've been pretty consistent. You know, this is risky to take on. But it is at home, though. They played them pretty tough last time. You know, Brady has got to be the slowest quarterback in the league outside of Peyton Manning. So they should be able to get some sacks on him. They were able to, I believe, pick them off at least once. You know, if the Jets do win this game, it's going to be because of their defense. Because, I'm not sure Edelman's back. I think he would make a big difference. He would definitely cause some problems. I think he's actually has a chance to play, so that could be an issue. But I don't see the Patriots aren't going to put up 50 points on the Jets. I think they'll harass Brady, at least a little bit. It could go either way. I mean, it could be like where playing the Jets will get me 2 points, or they can have really an exceptional game
And then that would also mean the Jets win the game. And, you know, the, Yahoo's projecting 15 points, so I'm kind of hoping for that. But, yeah, it's not a great defense to play this week, no doubt.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm I actually have leagues where I have New England. In one league, I do actually have New England and the Jets. And I'm going to be going with New England. And the reason is because Bill Belichick just pulled out every single bell and whistle he has for the Jets. I mean, even without Ryan there anymore, you know, the Jets and the Bills, those teams that he plays within his division, he likes to make, just meet of. And, you know, with all the history he has with the Jets, I can see him, having a fine game against them. I mean, I'm hoping for the Jets, obviously. I'm now a Jet fan, thanks to you, so I'm rooting for the Jets the whole way. But this is a game that I would probably start, I'll tell you what,
if this was Geno Smith starting, I would say definitely. Well, either way, I think you're right, Patriots over the Jets. But certainly, if it was Geno Smith, you know, then I would say there was absolutely no doubt that the Patriots defense would outperform the Jets. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, he gets rid of the ball. You know, he doesn't make mistakes. So I don't think the Patriots are going to, you know, ravage him at all. I think this will actually be a pretty competitive, close game. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, is a smart quarterback. So, and plus, remember, he played in the division with the Bills. So he knows all about Belichick. You know, it's not going to be a surprise to him.
So I'm gonna offer this to you. I believe the league that I have both those teams in, if I'm not mistaken, is in fact the league we're about to cover. So let's just switch over to it now, is my Evan Silva's Sports Writers Association League, where I'm playing Walton, or Walton's team, as he calls it. I have the Jets, and right now I have the Jets actually in there, but I was going to swap them to New England. They did be good last week. I think they got me a touchdown last week. They just outscored Evan's defense 11-4 because he had to go pick up the Rams. And I thought he made a pretty good pickup, but the Rams just didn't do much. So, the Jets did me all right. I'm going to let you decide. Who should I start out of those two guys? I'm going to let you do this for me. My whole entire game is going to – my chance to win a championship falls on you, RC, between the Jets and the Patriots.
all right, so what's the scoring?
Oh, it's pretty standard scoring. It's nothing special. You know, you get a point for a sack. You know, you get 2 points for – 2 or 3 points for a turnover. Obviously, you get, touchdowns out of the special teams, and scoring touchdowns. You know, it's pretty standard. Last week, the Jets got me 11 points for their game that they had, where I think they had, like, 5 sacks and I think a couple interceptions. 4 or 5.
All right,
whatever it is.
It sounds like you get more points for interceptions. So in that case, I would go with New England because New England has only given up 6 interceptions. Tom Brady simply is not throwing interceptions, obviously, as you know, where the Jets have thrown 13. So right there, you're double the odds of getting more points in that category. Where New England does give up more sacks, they've given up 34, and the Jets have given up 20. So just purely by the numbers, the odds favor New England in your scoring system where you get 2 points per interception.
See, that's why I agree with you. Tom Brady does not make mistakes. Bill Belichick's teams rarely fumble, and if they do, the NFL will tend to call them back because they're actually afraid of Bill Belichick as well. So,
but by the way, do you honestly believe that? You know why I think, I saw some study last year when, there was a big ruckus being made about this. And I really think it's not so much, there's definitely not any crookery going on with the fact that the Patriots don't give up the ball much. It's really just really the team philosophy that's been, hammered into the players. If you play for the Patriots and you fumble, you're not playing anymore. You're on the bench. That's what happens. And I think a lot of it
Absolutely.
Just has to go with, yeah, it's basically, how he runs his team.
And, it's also they don't really – they're not a run-heavy team. So, rare as a day you see a running back on that team or even a combination of running backs get more than 20 carries. And that also limits the number of fumbles. you know, the wide receivers catch the ball. You know, Tom Brady doesn't put it in a position where it's a risky catch. So, and you're right, and they're very well disciplined not to fumble. So I was joking. I mean, I didn't think they're gonna call back. I was just kind of joking towards them. All right, here's another decision I have to make in this league. And by the way, here's my team for this championship. Of course, I have Carr as my quarterback. I did have Luck, but this is now Carr, the Derek Carr show. I got Baldwin. I got Antonio Brown. Of course, I'm starting Marcus Wheaton. I actually benched Marcus Wheaton for Dontrell Amon last week, and I still won handfully, but that cost me about 5 points. I got Doug Martin, David Johnson, of course, Benjamin Watson. And then in the flex position, it's between Amir Abdullah, Jason Witten, or, of course, I still have Dontrell Amon to stick in there. Out of those three guys, who would you – I mean, I'm pretty sure who I'm going to go with, but who would you go with?
I liked the fact that when Moore started playing last week that they were going to Witten. But you can tell that Witten, you know, he's still – I mean, you know, this is a guy that's a Hall of Famer, had an exceptional career. But, you know, let's face it, he's not what he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So – I don't think there's a lot of upside with Witten. I think you have to like how Abdullah's been playing. Let me look at, like, the matchups. You know, I think Abdullah has definitely asserted himself to really the top running back. And they're playing San Francisco, who are 31st against the league, 31st in the league against the run. I think you got to go with Abdullah there.
Yeah, no, that's the one I was going to go with, and he's in the position. And, I mean, Dontrell Amon is not really an option. I just threw him out there. I mean, also Brandon Coleman on this team. Dontrell Amon?
Yeah, don't mess with Bolden. You don't need – oh, and by the – yeah, they're going against the Jets, so Bolden's not going to do anything. You know, the Bills have been pretty shaky against the tight end, but they're still middle of the pack. They rank about number 14. They're actually worse against wide receivers. So that's why, as we were talking to our friend who called about his championship game, you know, that's why Dez Bryant's looking good. And, you know, so hopefully Dez Bryant has a good game, but that would be a little bit at the expense of, I think, Witten. By the way, one thing to be careful about with Dez Bryant, I just noticed that he didn't practice today. I mean, have you heard anything about that?
No, that's just what they do. I mean, he still has, you know, the foot. And I think he has another little knee issue he's handling. So they're just keeping him healthy. I mean, there was talk they were going to shut him down. But, no, they want him to get out there and get work. And, you know, so they're just keeping him rested. It's kind of like a Romo thing. So he's not even – I don't even think he has anything next to his name as far as an injury. I mean, they're just resting him. It's status quo for them. Okay. I think they've been doing it all year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, so Dez is looking pretty good this week.
All right, Willie, we're running out of time here. So really quickly, I just want to, you know, I got to throw out to Jeremy. He's one of our good listeners, Jeremy Eli, War Picks. He's going against me in the Block Talk Radio 2 League. He does have, according to the Yahoo predictions, which, I mean, really, in all honesty, we use them as a guide. They're really nothing more. But he has a 6-point advantage on me, which tells me this game was pretty much an even match. I'm just going to give a breakdown of the team, and you can tell me really quickly that I'm going to beat them, and then we'll wrap it up. You like that? Never mind.
Okay.
So I'll just give you a quick breakdown of it. You can see the matchup, obviously. You were in this league. Carr versus Tannehill. Then, of course, my receivers who have been just absolutely filthy this year. I have Landry, Green, Ted Ginn I'm going with this week, and Dez Bryant. I did decide to go with Ted Ginn over Willie Snead. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to stick with that, but I am for now. Oh, this is the league where I have Kansas City, Denver, and Green Bay, and I'm going, of course, with Kansas City. I do have one question for you. Would you go with Carr over Cousins? Because this is the league I have Cousins in, but I'm rolling the dice with Carr versus his Tannehill. Is that smart, or do you think that Cousins against the Philadelphia defense is going to be a better option in your eyes?
I think Carr is safer. Like we were talking about before, you just know, Cousins could very well have a 4-point game and kill you. Where Carr has been very consistent. I mean, it was impressive what he was able to do versus Denver, where he started out awful and he salvaged his day, you know, having a fairly productive day. I was impressed with that. I think you're better off with him. You know, the one guy... I'm sorry?
What about... I also have Philip Rivers. That was, he was my actual original starting quarterback for this team until he lost every wide receiver he owns. What about Rivers over Carr? Or do you stick with Carr as I'm doing?
That's a little trickier. You know, Rivers, you know, he basically had those two awful games, but they were against tough defenses, and now he's going up against Oakland. And let's see what Oakland is against the pass. I don't think that's a that's the game tomorrow, isn't it? Oakland has been middle of the pack against the pass. You know, with Philip Rivers, like you're saying, it's just – and now they've got a change in the running game too. You know, they've got Danny Woodhead and Donald Brown. That's – you know, I'm not sure what effect that's going to have. Stevie Johnson's coming back this week. That's good news. But I don't know. For some reason, I just don't trust him. I think – I would stick with Carr, you know, but it could very well go the other way. But, you know, one thing to consider, this is at Oakland, to the extent – I know that, you know, you look at the home. Yeah, I'd probably go with Carr here.
Yeah, I think either quarterback is going to be fine. But I do think that probably Rivers might edge him out. But I'm going to take the chance and roll with Carr because Carr throws like crazy, and you never know what will happen. And then, of course, I do have – I'm going with Boog Powell again. I've had him for 2 weeks in a row. He's been absolutely – it's awesome for me as a third down running back out of the Jets backfield. Of course, Doug Martin, he has, you know, he has Lamar Miller and D'Angelo Williams, fine running backs. His receivers, of course, he actually has far better receivers than me. I mean, I might have Landry Green and Bryant and then Ted Ginn backing them up, but he has Martavius Bryant, Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, and of course, and that's it. That's his wide receiving crew. Should I be afraid of that wide receiving two RC?
Bryant, you know, he's definitely the second best receiver on that team. And, you know, Roethlisberger, like we've discussed, and I think we both agree, has been the top quarterback this year, you know, when he's played. Cooper, you've got Carr to counteract that. That's another reason to play Carr. And then Cooks. You know, he can be dangerous as well. But, you know, honestly, I think Ginn and Cooks are about even this year, which is amazing. You know, it really does seem to be the case. I think Landry definitely is the equal of Bryant, no doubt, given his usage in that offense. He's really the main guy. The guy I'd be careful about, and I'm sure you're going to be watching the injury reports, because remember, A.J. Green left the game last week with a back injury in the third quarter. And, you know, I think he's still questionable. He's also playing Denver. That's where he might have an edge with Cooper over Green.
You know, and I've actually considered, and I still will consider it throughout the week, benching A.J. Green. I mean, I do have people I can slide in there for him. I have Richard Rodgers. Willie Snead would be the number one guy that would probably go to that position. So I am considering that, and that's not a bad idea. When you're in a championship game and you're in that scenario, you got to go with the best option. This is where you have to play manager, and your studs no longer are the automatic rollouts, especially not only from a matchup standpoint, but you're right from that back injury that he had last week. So I'm going to continue to monitor that one. I believe this is obviously not going to be a Saturday game, is it? No, they play on Sunday. I'm sorry, they play Monday. So I have till Monday to decide on Green, but obviously with Willie Snead playing on Sunday, I have till Sunday afternoon to decide on Snead. And there's a very good chance I'll go with him. I mean, against Jacksonville, just, again, I have to worry about whether or not, Drew Brees is playing. And then, of course, I still have Yeldon, who I highly doubt is going to play this week. So
yeah, but
my depth is kind of soaked.
Yeah, but by the way, Yeldon, I think you can count out. And, you know, your other option, too, is you can slide Dez Bryant up to your receiver spot to take Green's place. There's a couple guys on the waiver wire here that might be interesting. Artis Payne is out there, and also the running back from Buffalo, Jalissi, who's – and also I think Carlos Williams is out here as well. But that's a gamble. But Artis Payne is out there. You could actually move Brian up to your receiver spot and I think slip Artis Payne in if you want to do that. Snead obviously isn't a bad option either, you know.
I'll pick up, you know, I'm definitely going to pick up right now. I don't need, I'm definitely not going to go with Cousins, so I'll go ahead and release Cousins to the wind. Not a bad option. I didn't even see the, I picked up Payne, and I'll consider Payne going forward now. Thank you for letting me know about that. I really didn't even look, I haven't had a chance yet with this holiday season. I didn't even do any pickups. I thought all my teams were pretty much set, and I didn't do, a damn pickup, but I didn't think that in this league Artis Payne would be available. But, I just grabbed him. And I'll consider that because you're right. Right now AJ Green is the worry one, so I'll keep an eye on him. We got to put a wrap on this show, RC, because I know they're going to turn us off here any second now. Fantastic season, another fantastic year. We had some great debates. You upset me a little bit with the DFS stuff, but you brought it from the heart, and that's all that matters. And I respect you for that. And we're going to continue it next year, and we'll have some more fun debates. And some more fun bets. I think you owe me $7.50 for this season. Not sure, but I expect a check soon.
We're going to have that audited by Pricewaterhouse if they're still in business. I can't remember if they are. But we might be doing baseball this year too, right?
There is a possibility. I'm going to find out. I'm going to be talking with the execs over at Blog Talk Radio, and if everything looks good, we will be doing that. That's dependent on us getting on the channel. But we'll know more. Just keep that, if you guys are in baseball too, keep that on your notes. I'll know by the end of January about that. RC, as always, I love you. And good luck. Like I said, I want you to win two championships this year. I want to be sending you the money for the home league, and I want you to represent us well in the Mike Ward League.
We'll see what happens. Have a great Christmas to you and your family, man.
You too. Merry Christmas, RC.
Okay. Take care.